have not been dug up. Basically, the pipes haven't, the galvanized steel and lead service lines have not been replaced. We settled this in 2017, and it was supposed to be done by 2020. But the current mayor and the state went ahead and put a halt on it. They blamed COVID, even though the digging would be outside. And now they're just dropping their hands, saying, oh, no, we're done. So we have to continue to go to court to push this, to say, no, you have to take this out. And again, remember, service lines are only one piece. Unfortunately, our outdated laws only cover the service line, which is the pipe from your house to the street. The distribution mains in the street that are also damaged and destroyed and rupturing aren't being replaced. And the interior plumbing inside of homes is all, it's also not being replaced. The plumbing, appliances, fixtures, all the things, the water, the corrosive water ate and destroyed, not being touched. So we're having to do it ourselves. In my house, I have a bathroom that had to go down to the studs, and my kitchen had to go down to the studs during COVID because the water ate through lines and destroyed our floors, our countertops, our cabinets. I mean, it just goes on and on. So it's continual punishment for living in Flint. And yet, while right now the infrastructure bill is going forward, thanks to the work that Flint residents have done to raise the issue and to push it, they're not doing it right in Flint. And the problem is, if they don't do it right here, they're going to do this mess, this halfway, you know, piecemealed mess across the country, and we can't stand for that. So Naira and I are part of a greater coalition to fight to make sure the infrastructure bill is implemented right with the right licensed plumbers and make sure that people are safe so this work isn't in vain and people aren't left worse off by a terrible job done and corners being cut like what's being done in Flint.
Now, Naira, the Michigan Supreme Court threw out, and I said before the convictions, it's the indictments against the governor and a number of his aides for the deadly Flint, Michigan water crisis. Court ruling 6-0, the judge who issued the indictments did not have the authority to do so. That doesn't mean that this case is thrown out, that it was just done procedurally wrong. So how do you move ahead? On the one hand, holding these officials accountable up to the governor. And then how you move ahead with dealing with this crisis today. I mean, talking about the lead poisoning of the children of Flint, a majority black city, what this means for the future. And ultimately, you've called this actually a crisis of democracy because Snyder empowered unelected town managers that he put in place in mainly black cities of Michigan to run your city and others.
Yes. Well, you know, like when the Supreme Court like voided like those indictments, it was really like a slap in the face. It just really felt like, you know, like when are we going to actually receive justice? And in the eyes of many Flint residents, justice for them isn't getting their lead service line replaced, or, you know, today is actually the last day for residents to fill out their paperwork to be part of the civil lawsuit. It's not that. It's actually seeing someone convicted and going to jail for poisoning 100,000 Flint residents. And then also, unfortunately, you know, the systems that created Michigan's emergency manager law is still on the books, and they're actually looking to tweak it because...
Naira, we have 15 seconds.
Okay. It's going under financial distress. So this is something that is going to be ongoing, and we have to continue to fight in the streets for justice that we deserve.
And we will continue to follow this, as we did with the documentary Thirsty for Democracy, The Poisoning of an American City. You can go to it online at democracynow.org. Naira Sharif, director of Flint Rising, and Melissa Mays, resident of Flint and organizer with Flint Rising. That does it for our show. A very happy birthday to Isis Phillips. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Stay safe.
Kenny.
And Amanda Smith from Nashville, Tennessee.
Keep it right here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
Everybody ready? Mm-hmm.
And welcome to Whiskey Before Breakfast on WRCT Pittsburgh, WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark, Delaware, WUTC and WUTC HD1 Chattanooga, Tennessee, WKYWLP Kaiser, West Virginia, or Tube City Online Radio from McKeesport, Pennsylvania. I am Amanda Richard, and we've got a wild show for you. I know you're going to love it. We'll start off on the liquor upside of the family like we usually do. We'll close down on the gospel side of the family, like we usually do. And in between, we've got lots of great music and a conversation with Emily Pinkerton of the Early Maze. Well, let's get things started, shall we? Let's go back to 1954 to start off our liquored up set with Ernest Tubb doing Two Glasses, Joe.
Turn the jukebox low and let me sit and reminisce. While I pretend that she is sitting here with me the way she did not long ago. We used to paint the town red and dance until two. Well, I don't paint it red no more, but I'm painting it blue. He stole her love, I know, but he can't stop me, Joe, from having just a dream or two. There's a memory in the room, a memory that walks, a memory that talks and haunts me everywhere I go. I'm just a fool who loves her and will till I die, from the very first hello until the last goodbye. And this is it, you know. So fill two glasses, Joe. Then leave me here alone to cry.
Beers in on this old heartache. Eight more away from telling you we're through. Tomorrow night is gonna be the same but different, with 12 more beers but just the memory. Lately I've had a drinking problem, but the problem is that I can't drink enough to take me back in time to start all over, because you're still around when I wake up.
I'm 4 beers in on this old heartache. Ain't no way from telling you we're through. Tomorrow night is gonna be the same but different, with 12 more beers, but just the memory of you.
As an adult, kids want to know you're listening to them, but they also want to listen to you. When it comes to alcohol, they want to know your expectations and how and why to avoid underage drinking. Talking early and often about it in everyday conversations reinforces your message and keeps lines of communication open. For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. I'll be by your side.
Hey everyone, it's Greg Ruby, and you are listening to Whiskey Before Breakfast with Mando Richard. How was that?
Sober. Couldn't drink enough to keep you off my mind. Tonight the bottle let me down. Day. But the
I tell her, you sure look nice, but it came out like, you just fine. Thanks to tequila. Yeah, I should have stuck to beer, but I'm more evenly impaired. As a demon whom I'm a little more familiar. Cause when I tried to apologize, it sounded like, you have flat. Thanks to tequila. Even hurt me to blink my eyes. Thanks to tequila. Yeah, a little bit of salt and lime was burning up my mind. Thanks to tequila. Yeah, I should have stuck to beer where I'm more evenly impaired. As a demon whom I'm a little more familiar. You got to know where to draw the line. Now I know where I'll be drawing mine. Thanks to tequila. Yeah, thanks to tequila. Bye,
Jose. Listening to the Fuzzy Mountain String Band. Remember them? Doing Old Mother Flanagan from that old record. There's Fuzzy Mountain String Band, which, gosh, I don't remember when it was re-released on CD, but it's been around for quite a while. Now, let me tell you about our liquored up set here on Whiskey Before Breakfast. Back at the beginning of the show, you heard from Ernest Tubb doing Two Glasses Joe, a hit for him back in 1954. Then Blue Moon Rising, whom I usually think of as a bluegrass band, but here they gave us a great country song, Four Beers In. And that's from their 2013 record, Blue Side of the Moon. Then you heard from Merle Haggard and his 1966 single, The Bottle Let Me Down. Yeah, a song he wrote too. And then we close down with a classic, a fun one. Dale Watson's Thanks to Tequila.
Thanks to Tequila.
Yeah, Thanks to Tequila from Dale Watson's El Rancho Azul record, which came out in 2013. Come up next, you're going to hear a nice conversation I had recently with Emily Pinkerton of the Early Mays. They're a band based out of Pittsburgh, even though Emily has moved on to Albany, New York. And during the course of this interview, she'll introduce their new EP, Prettiest Blue, and tell you where, if you're in Pittsburgh, you can go and see them on June 25th. And if you're not in Pittsburgh, that's okay. She'll also tell you where you can go find more information about their music. What you're listening to now while I'm chatting with you are the Early Mays playing that old tune, Shaking Down the Acorns.
As I mentioned to you, you're listening to The Early Maze. Play Shaking Down the Acorns here on Whiskey Before Breakfast. And joining me now is Emily Pinkerton of The Early Maze. Thanks so much.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
And you're here to tell me about this brand new EP.
We're so happy. We're so happy. We love these songs. We've loved every song we've recorded, but this has been super special. We've been exploring a new sound with cello. It's somehow like both more lush than we've ever sounded, and also a little more like spare and stark than we've ever sounded. So it's an exciting album.
Nicole Myers is the person you're talking about on the cello. You've added her, and that's like a whole different dimension to you and Ellen.
It really is. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, and she's just this perfect balance of someone who can play with intensity, but also play with absolute, you know, kind of softness and gentleness when the song requires it. So she's been an amazing collaborator.
Well, you and Ellen Glazian are both tremendous instrumentalists in your own right, in addition to being wonderful singers, but you add that cello, and man, it's just a knockout sound.
Thank you so much. We're so happy with it.
You know, cello is showing up more and more in old-time music, isn't it? In the new traditional old-time music, I guess I should say.
Yeah, there's some amazing players out there. And I mean, you think of Crooked Still, and I'm not sure who's playing with them these days. But, oh my goodness, you know, and it's got its history in old-time music too, on some old recordings being this kind of bowed bass. And, Shaking Down the Acorns, you can hear a little of that flavor too, with some real strong back and forth to mark the bass line, but going a lot of other directions as well.
Now, the Early Maze have been in business for, what, about a decade or 11 years, something like that?
Yeah, just about exactly a decade.
Because I first heard of you when I was still living in Delaware, and one of your CDs came in, and I played the heck out of it. It was really great. You guys don't both live in Pittsburgh anymore, do you?
No, it's over 3 years ago I moved away to teach songwriting at a college in Albany, which is great fun. And then we had about a year and a half apart, but I still came back to Pittsburgh several times a year, and then COVID, you know, so so we're getting back into a rhythm of more visits now that things are a little more open. But we recorded this album right before COVID hit. We sat for a while with it because we weren't quite sure when the right time to release it was, but now is the time, and we're just so happy that, you know, we made it through the challenges and delays and can bring this to life.
You talk about the COVID delay. I know that you had scheduled what may very well have been the release concert for this CD at UU Songspace back in 2020, and now it's been postponed. But good news. What's the good news?
The good news is we're back in business with Songspace, and June 25th at 7:30 in Shadyside, First Unitarian Church, we will be playing. Old Whitetail is going to open up the evening, and they have air conditioning. That's important to note. I'm just so happy to be singing in a space that is so lovely, seeing old friends, and sharing new songs and old songs.
Well, I think it's fantastic that you've sort of postponed putting this out and sort of postponed the concert announcing the CD, but here it is 2 years later, and you're able to do it right there at UU Songspace here in Pittsburgh. We haven't told people the name of your new EP.
Oh my gosh. Prettiest Blue. Isn't that a good name? Not to brag on ourselves, but that's a line from Ellen's song that she wrote that opens the album, called The Ballad of Johnny Fall. And this particular character had eyes that were once the prettiest blue.
You know what? Why don't we let people listen to that?
All right.
And here from The Prettiest Blue is The Early Maze doing The Ballad of Johnny Fall.
The prettiest blue, you
We just heard the Early Mays doing The Ballad of Johnny Fall from their new EP, Prettiest Blue, which will be officially released on June 25th at a concert at UU Song Space, www.uusongspace.com for more information for that. And as long as I'm mentioning website, how can people, maybe not listening in Pittsburgh, learn more about the Early Mays?
TheEarlyMaze.com. Yep, and you can find us on Instagram and Facebook too. But our mailing list is a lot of fun, and so swing by TheEarlyMaze.com.
Now, Ellen Gozian wasn't able to make it for today's interview, but we just featured a song that she wrote. What would she tell us about that song?
Well, first of all, she'd be very humble. So I'm glad it's me talking about it instead of her, because it's such a tremendous song. It's a very condensed ballad, because it's not verses and verses and verses, and it has a chorus, which, you know, a lot of older ballads don't really go that verse chorus route. So it's like this cool modern song ballad that sounds very old, but tells a more recent story. She was at a song circle at Augusta in West Virginia, and heard a woman tell a story about, I forget if it was a friend or a sister, and it just hit Ellen and said, that is a ballad. That story is so amazing. And I have to figure out the way to tell it. And I'm not going to give away the story. I want people to, you know, go back to the track if they didn't catch the whole story and really soak in its drama and its tragedy, but also the powerful love that was a part of it too.
You mentioned, as you were talking about Ellen's song that we just heard, that it sounds old. I think that's really a lot of what you and Ellen are both after, isn't it, Emily?
we both love old songs and music. I mean, modern music too, you know. We were just talking the other day about how folks like Lucinda Williams and Emmylou Harris and Alison Krauss are people we look up to, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, all kinds of folks. You know, so we're not folk old time purists in any stretch, you know. You know, we love a good song in any forms, but we've spent a lot of time listening to old songs, you know. What a general label, right? But more specifically, old songs, you know, that have connections, whether they came from the Southeast and or the mountains of Appalachia, whether they came from that place, that, you know, have ties to those places. And, you know, we've learned from beautiful musicians over the years, and I think we'll both in particular have an affinity for the clawhammer banjo.
Just recently I spoke with Mark Tamsul and Richard Withers about their latest project, which is about preserving,
mm-hmm.
you know, tunes that were around in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, and recording those and sharing them with people. And here am I talking with you and Ellen, pay homage,
yeah.
if you will, to the old style,
yeah.
but you go further. I mean,
yeah.
you take it and that move on.
Yeah. It's funny, it's that love for this world, you know, that we can call traditional music, which doesn't necessarily mean old, right? And it's this love of what collaborating and being together to create our arrangements and our songs means. So it's, the band is really about the love of a particular niche in the musical world, and it's about the love of creating harmonies together. You know, and that's, I don't know, like I learned a lot from Brad Leftwich over the years,
yeah.
and really admire him, and Linda Higginbotham, and they say that, you know, their mission is to get more people playing music in their living rooms, and I just think that sums up, you know, what I value in an experience of the band, like the Early Maze, that, you know, you dive into this musical world, whether that's a time period or a region or a specific musician style, you dig, you learn all this just infinite detail from these songs, but the mission is tied to being out there, being with people, inspiring people, communing, playing with, you know, so that side of preparing these songs is just so important. You know, and we've had so much fun with it over the years. You know, just I miss being right in Pittsburgh to be able to bop right over to Ellen's house and rehearse. But, you know, every time we get together, it's familiar, it's comfortable, it's fun, and there's always good food and good music.
Even if it's new songs, the way you're talking is the way a traditional singer or musician would talk in terms of getting other people to play, playing it with other people, singing it with other people. That's really a cool part of the tradition, whether you're doing new songs or old songs.
Exactly. Are you feeling better as people and as a community as you sit and listen or make music together? That's, I don't care what music it is, you know? Yeah.
I'm going to hit you with something I didn't warn you about.
Oh, please.
It's like you said, whatever the music is. How the heck did you get interested in the music from Chile?
Oh, my gosh. Well, in high school, I grew up in a town called Valparaiso, Indiana, and which happens to be named after a city in Chile. And there were, at different points, groups from Chile that would come to see our Valparaiso via exchanges with the YMCA or different places. So I knew we had this connection to Chile kind of globally. But then we had lots of exchange students at our high school, and I became really close friends with a student from Uruguay. We played guitar and music together, and there were also students from Chile and Argentina, and it just made me want to know what South America was all about, you know, and then travel there myself. I became an exchange student there when I was 19, and I'd already started playing old time. So when I got there, I was like, okay, what's Chilean old time? I want to know. So I started dancing, I started singing, I started doing all this wonderful stuff and meeting super cool people that I could tell a lot of stories about.
But the whole idea is that the music of the people was the music of the people there, just like the music of the people up here.
Yeah, that's undergone all the same kind of transformations, revivals, preservations, popularizations, politicizations. It's, Chile has a really important history when it comes to folk music and the role it's played, particularly in the 20th century.
We're talking with Emily Pinkerton of the Early Mays, and they will be appearing at Songspace and the First Unitarian Church. I think it's on Moorwood Avenue.
Corner of Moorwood and Ellsworth.
Up here in Pittsburgh on June 25th. And for the folks who are not in Pittsburgh and listening to this, how can they learn more about you, what you and Ellen are up to?
They can drop by anytime on Instagram or Facebook, with the / The Early Mays, or they can come to theearlymays.com.
For people who are not in Pittsburgh, you have an announcement of an upcoming radio appearance?
Yes, we're going to have a live appearance in Charleston with NPR's Mountain Stage with Larry Gross on August 28th, and then that will be broadcast all over the nation the following month. So wherever you are, you should be able to find us.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. You want to share another song from your new record with the folks?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, speaking of Chile, the second song is called On a Dying Day, and I wrote it with Lake Michigan in mind, because the most beautiful dunes, to my judgment, in the world, and one of the biggest inland dunes, is right north of where I grew up, on the shores of Lake Michigan, on the Indiana Dunes. And it's just an important place to me, and it figures in several of my songs, but it was just another song where I imagined myself there. But the inspiration also comes from Chilean poetry, some patterns of recurrence of lines. So literally the lyrics kind of roll back and roll back like waves and grab lines from earlier that appear later. And it was also inspired a little bit in South America from a gorgeous song called Alfonsina y el Mar that was about a woman who walks into the sea, but tells a kind of beautiful story of her life. So let's take a listen to that.
Okay, here come the Early Mays and On a Dying Day. Thanks again, Emily.
You're so welcome, Richard. Thank you.
Anyway. Thanks so much to Emily Pinkerton of The Early Maze for joining us and chatting with us about their new EP, Prettiest Blue. It'll be nationally available on July 1st and available to those in the Pittsburgh area on June 25th when they have their release concert at UU Songspace, the First Unitarian Church on Morwood Avenue. The tracks we played during the conversation, back at the beginning of the conversation, you heard Shaking Down the Acorns, and then you heard The Ballad of Johnny Fall, and the last thing that you just heard was On a Dying Day, all from the Early Maze new EP, Prettiest Blue. Oh, you are listening right now to the Square Peg Rounders play The Forks of Sandy from their 2013 record Galax, New York City. Next set's going to begin with something from a fiddler who started off in the old-time tradition and has moved on to a little bit more commercial sound, but still pretty good. Here comes Tara Nevins with Who Would You Tell? Thanks for tuning in to Whiskey Before Breakfast.
Who would you tell, honey, who'd know you well enough to know how hard you fall and who'd know how far you fell? What would you do, honey, with half a clue? What would it take to follow through? What difference would it make in you? see you can be a change of the writing on the wall. Hey, babe, what do you say? Open up your door and let me in, let me in, let me love you that much more.
What do you say there, partner? What's the name of that piece you're playing?
I don't know.
Feller down the road taught me one kind of like it. He said it was Rain Crow Bill.
Well, let me hear you on.
Said the way that a rain crow bird, you know, sounds out in the trees just before it's gonna rain. Here's the way he taught it to me. Borrow your harp there.
Sound like the way we play it around here.
You mean your rain crows don't sound that way around here?
That's right.
How you sound?
I'll show you where I play it now.
Thank you. Mighty pretty rain, Crow.
There's a place back in those woods where nothing dares to grow, and they say even the bravest of brave men do not go.
Train 45 is going to take us into the station break, and Stay tuned because we'll have more great music. But first, I need to tell you about all the music you've been hearing lately. This is Scott Vestal, Randy Kors, Tim Crouch, Cody Kilby, Byron Howson, Jonah Horton doing Train 45 from that new Pinecastle record, Bluegrass 2022, 10 Great Instrumental Recordings. The rest of the set, well, back at the beginning of the set, you're from Tara Nevins, do Who Would You Tell from her 2011 record, Wood and Stone. Then you heard something that you might not have heard before, Woody Guthrie and Sonny Terry going back and forth talking about and playing the song Rain Crow Bill. Then I saw a crow. I had to play another song from the Wilson Banjo Company, Steve Wilson's outfit, When the Crow Comes Down, from their 2021 record, 6 Degrees of Separation. Okay, it's almost time for our station break. After the announcements, we'll be back with more great music here on Whiskey Before Breakfast. You are listening to Whiskey Before Breakfast on WRCT Pittsburgh, WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark, Delaware, WUTC and WUTC HD1 Chattanooga, Tennessee, WKYWLP Kaiser, West Virginia, or Tube City Online Radio from McKeesport, Pennsylvania at WMCK.FM.
Considering an online pharmacy? Explore BeSafeRx to find useful information and resources to help you purchase medicines safely online. A safe online pharmacy requires a doctor's prescription, has an address in the United States, has a licensed pharmacist, and is licensed by a state pharmacy board. It's best to stay away from online pharmacies that don't meet these criteria. Discover more helpful tips and resources at BeSafeRx. Go to fda.gov/BeSafeRx.
Hey there, it's the Mockster from WRCT's own Friday night extravaganza, Viva La Mock, reminding you that you're listening to Whiskey Before Breakfast with my good friend, Mando Richard. But then again, unless you're a first-time listener, you probably already knew what you're listening to, right? Huh? Right? And if not, maybe, just maybe, you've had a little too much whiskey before breakfast, if you know what I mean.
Spack Brothers Pizza joins you in supporting WRCT Pittsburgh. Spack Brothers Pizza offers pizza, hoagies, and wings while specializing in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Spack Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in its sauce and unbleached flour in its dough. Spack Brothers is committed to safety during the ongoing pandemic, and they provide online ordering and payment, as well as contact-free pickup. You can learn more about online ordering at their website, www.spackbrothers.com. And you will receive a text message when your food is ready for pickup. For more information, call 412-362-SPAK or visit their website at spackbrothers.com. That's 412-362-7725 or spakbrothers.com. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities.
Hi, this is DJ Firefly with a message for Richard Whiskey Folk listeners. I invite you to tune in for my show, Couch Dancing. I've got guitars, violins, hand drums, oud, vocal harmonies, and all the irreverent silliness you've come to expect from WRCT.
Dingle dangle, yickety doo, yickety da, ping pong, lippy dubby too ta.
Catch it Wednesdays at 3 p.m. After all that breakfast whiskey, it should sound pretty good.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hey, after Whiskey Before Breakfast gets done at 1 o'clock, don't forget to stay tuned to WRCT Pittsburgh for the Black Diamond Show, an hour of bluegrass music. Let's start off the second part of Whiskey Before Breakfast with Le Vent du Nord.
Pour la guerre à Saint-Louis, s'en va faire ses adieux, son front chagrin incliné vers la terre, une douce larme y coulait de ses yeux.
Mais il lui dit à sa douce un conseil, à mon retour je serai ton amant.
Mais il lui dit, il lui répète encore, au revoir Louise, au revoir.
Mais il lui dit, il lui répète encore, au revoir ma Louise, au revoir.
Mon beau galant, si tu t'en vas en guerre, de te revoir l'espoir je l'ai perdu. Quand tu seras tué dans la bataille, moi ta Louise je ne t'y reverrai plus.
Si tu m'aimais comme tu me l'as fait voir, tu ne penserais jamais de me quitter.
Mais il lui dit, il lui répète encore, au revoir, ma Louise, au revoir.
Mais il lui dit, il lui répète encore, au revoir, ma Louise, au revoir.
Apportez-moi aussi un blanc mouchoir pour essuyer les larmes de mes yeux.
Cessez vos pleurs, la belle séchez vos larmes, car sur ma foi, je jure de vous aimer.
Mais il lui dit, il lui répète encore, au revoir, ma Louise, au revoir.
Mais il lui dit,
que pleurer. La nuit, le jour, elle pleure, elle se lamente en regrettant son joli temps passé.
Que Dieu veuille bien préserver de la guerre tous les amants et filles à marier.
Mais il lui dit, il lui répète encore, au revoir, à Louise, au revoir.
Mais il lui dit,
ouvrez, ouvrez la belle de votre porte à votre amant qui le fermée. La belle se lève et va ouvrir la porte à son amant, à son bien-aimé. Mais il lui dit, il lui répète encore, au revoir, à Louis, au revoir.